Proverbs, the third chapter, Proverbs number 3, beginning. Amen. Proverbs, the third chapter, we're going to read just a few verses in that chapter. We'll start reading at verse number 3, Proverbs 3 and 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Before we actually get into the message tonight, I would like to thank all those who take part in the singing. And I know, where would we be if ones didn't really feel the burden to sing? Service after service after service, amen, they're faithful. And I want them to know I appreciate it. Appreciate it very, very much. It's when they get up there and sing, yeah, they make mistakes. Everybody makes them. Amen. But I make mistakes preaching. And you know the stats, several of you have. But nevertheless, we put forth the effort. And I really appreciate the singers and pray much about the revival coming up, that God will lay a song upon your heart or whatever he'd have you to do. I want to talk to you tonight about putting your trust in the Lord. Putting your trust in the Lord. These verses of scripture we read are very encouraging tonight. And they're very uplifting. Many times we find that so often when we trust in our friends or loved ones or relatives, close associations, they prove to be a disappointment many, many times. But no one has ever trusted in the Lord and been left in disappointment or defeat. It's only when we lean to our own understanding and the arm of flesh do we wind up in a hopeless situation. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Listen to the writings of the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 1 and 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul here relates that while he was in Asia, he was pressed, he said, out of measure. Amen. Above human strength, insomuch that he despaired for his own life. But he said he put his trust in the Lord. Amen. Not in himself. And the Lord delivered him, the scripture says, from so great a death. Paul had felt that the sentence of death was upon him, and this sentence of death caused him to put his whole dependence upon the Lord. We individually, or as a congregation, cannot and dare not trust in ourselves. We dare not trust in the fact that we're a fairly large congregation. Don't trust in the fact of our own strength, our own finances, our own knowledge. For we have to realize, amen, we've come this far by faith in trusting in the Lord. We dare not trust in the arm of flesh. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament. And I want to read you about Hezekiah. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 32 and 1. After these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with the princes and the mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains, which were without the city, and they did help him. So there was gathered much people together, who stopped all the fountains and the brook that ran through the midst of the land, saying, "Why should the king of Syria come and find much water?" Also he strengthened himself, built up the wall that was broken, raised up to the towers and another wall without, and repaired Milo in the city of David, and made darts and shields in abundance. And he set captains of war over the people, gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Syria, for all the multitude that is with him, for it will be more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people, what? Rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Here we have a picture of Hezekiah preparing for battle, knowing that the king of Syria was about to attack. Amen. It says he strengthened himself. He got with all the different leaders to lay out a plan. Amen. And he sought the Lord. Amen. And that's necessary. Amen. Whenever we're into any kind of a battle, that we put our trust and confidence in the Lord. Philippians, the third chapter. And I say, knowing God is with you makes a big difference in the battle. Don't enter into anything, saints of God, where you're not sure whether God is, amen, for you or even against you in the battle. Make sure God is with you whenever you enter into, amen, a trial of any kind. But let's go to Philippians, the third chapter. Here we read the Apostle Paul writing, verse 4 and 7, and here he gives his, amen, his resume, so to speak, or we would call it a resume today, but his credentials. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man, thinking he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Here Paul puts before the reader his past accomplishments. Amen. From the time of circumcision, amen, up to Christ. He was a God-fearing, law-observing Jew. His lineage or his genealogy was as pure, amen, as you could get. He belonged to one of the most aristocratic tribes of the Jews. Amen. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. He lets us know in verse 5 that his parents were not heathen. He was not a proselyte, but of the tribe of Benjamin. Then he says, he goes on to say, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, or otherwise he retained his Hebrew language and lineage. Now, what's he talking about? A lot of those Jews or Hebrews, amen, got away and married out into other, amen, factions. And that is what you call Samaritans. Amen. They married into others and other factions, and amen. You would find that, amen, they could not, they picked up a different dialect than the actual Hebrew language. But the Apostle Paul says here, I'm still a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Amen. And it is said that he could speak 9 different languages, but he never lost, amen, his native tongue of Hebrew. Amen. His record in Judaism, he felt, was blameless. He had in his heart a burning zeal for what he thought was, amen, the cause of Christ. But his entire honor, amen, that he had from a childhood up, he had to lay it aside when he met Jesus Christ. Why is that? The ground before the cross is all on one level. Amen. You can't come before the cross, amen, with a bunch of credentials, and somebody else come over here, maybe raised in heathenism. Amen. The ground is all level before the cross. All the glory, human achievements, amen, were written off as nothing more than bad debts. He could not trust in his own achievements, but rather he had to put his confidence in God. Listen to what he said in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Now, if he was still in the Pharisee religion, amen, there he would definitely have an advantage. And he did have an advantage, amen, when he was in the Pharisee religion. But before Christ, he had to count all those achievements as lost. Anything that's been achieved here in this congregation has been by trust in a very merciful God. Right in the face of opposition, God has been so good to us. It's not the arm of flesh, or the congregation would have went under a long time ago. There have been ones, and there is in every congregation, who thought the work of God wouldn't and couldn't go on without them. That the work would bottom out, but they soon have to learn a lesson. Amen. The foundation of God is not built on man. It's built on Jesus Christ. There's going to be a changing of the guard one of these days. And all factions are all, not factions, but all positions here in the congregation. We'll no doubt have to have a new choir leader. Amen. You have to have a new, amen, pastor. You have to have this and that and different leadership role here in the congregation. But as long as we keep God first, as long as we put our confidence in God, God will take the work right on. Amen. And it will be successful. Amen. But right in the face of opposition, God has been really, really good to us. We always need to remember, church, no one is so important that they can't be replaced. And no one is so important that they have a monopoly on God. Amen. And when you and I think that way, our thinking is wrong. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said, speaking to the Romans. He said this in Romans 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Don't think highly of yourself, more highly than you ought to think. Over the years, I have seen ones quit this and quit that to make a statement. Amen. Or so once, amen, would hear their voice. But nevertheless, the work of God goes chugging right on. Yes, it's sometimes a lot more difficult to have a person leave a position, It makes things a little more difficult and a little harder. But when payday comes, those who labor receive well from the Lord. Hebrews 6 and 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you've showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." The first part of the 11th Psalm and verse 1 says, "In the Lord put I my trust." Our trust is in God, in his word, in Christ. Ephesians 3:11. "According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, access with confidence by the faith of him. Also, we have the word of God, saints, to help us." The 119th Psalm, verse 41, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." There are a lot of promises, church, in the word of God for those who trust in the Lord. Do you know that somebody that trusts in God is kept from fear? Right in the scriptures, they're kept from fear. Isaiah 12:2. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength." The Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He also has become my salvation. Go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Just some scriptures tonight. Amen. To build your confidence and your trust in the Lord. Hebrews 13:5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Also, you know, we don't have to be up and down. You don't have to be that way. We don't have to have experience where we're saved one week, down the next week, on a high plane the next week, down in the pits of despair the next. The Bible, the Word of God, and God himself can keep us, the scripture says, from slipping and from sliding. Listen to what he said in Psalm 37:31. "The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Also, amen, we can enjoy perfect peace. To me, that's wonderful in this day and age, to enjoy perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Not peace free from trouble, but peace right in the midst of trouble. Jesus, speaking in John 16:33, clarifies this. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world," amen, that's where we're at, "we'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Also, those who put their trust in the Lord are happy. Amen. They're happy. Amen. They have their confidence and trust in the Lord. Proverbs 16:20. "He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy." Happy is he. Now, there's a lot of reasons. The Bible is full of reasons why we should trust in the Lord. And I wrote down some reasons why we can put our confidence and trust in God tonight. One is, he's unfailing. God does not, will not fail. Now, I'm sure you've learned that in your experience. Amen. You always wound up finding out that if there's any failure, it was on your part. God is unfailing. Amen. We read in Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. They're anchored. Amen. His words will not pass away. We read in the 102nd Psalm, verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end. Amen. And the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. And then let's pick up another verse. He's unfailing in Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, God's not only unfailing. What else is there about God? Amen. What is another good reason why we should put our confidence and our trust in God? He cannot lie. And I'm sure all of us have been disappointed in life. Amen. With people, maybe even close to us or whatever. Amen. That we put our confidence in, but what they told us, amen, was not the truth. But God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Then let's read Titus, first chapter. Titus, chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He's unfailing. He cannot lie. But there's something else about God. Amen. Another reason why we should put our confidence and trust in him. He's able to perform. Sometimes we can make statements that we can do this and that. We're putting a little stretch in there. We're not quite able to handle like we said we would. But God is able. When God says something, he's able to perform it. Speaking of the promise given to Abraham about how he'd be a father of many nations, Paul writes, amen, that he staggered not at the promise of God to unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He says in Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Paul, writing to the Philippians, writes to encourage them, amen, in their stand. And he writes, amen, the Philippian brethren were going through excessive trials. So he writes to him, and he says this in chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You can also trust in the Lord in temptation. It's great to have somebody to help you like God in temptation. We're all going to be tempted. He was tempted in all points, such as we are. But I'm glad that God is there to help us right in the midst of temptation, right in the midst of the most heated trial or temptation, God has so fixed it that we don't have to fail. We don't have to fall. 1 Corinthians 10:13, many times we read this scripture so much, and most of the time we can even quote this scripture. Amen. But it's one powerful scripture in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians, amen, 10:13 says, there hath no temptation. So that would mean a severe one, a small one, a light one, however you want to call it a temptation. No temptation. Taking you, first of all, it's common. And this is a common salvation. It's common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And how many here, Church of God, have found it so and found it so? Oh, see your hands went up tonight. Right in the midst of trial and temptation, you found it so. Even when you thought you was going to go under, even when you was a place, amen, to the, what you call the breaking place, and you thought you was going to go down, what happens? No temptation taking you, such as common to man, but God. God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. You also can trust in the Lord because he won't leave you in the heat of the trial. He's not going to take off like maybe people would. He's not going to, amen, disown you like some people might. God will stay with you as long as you stay with him. He'll stay with you right in the most heated of your trials. I read this scripture the other night, but it goes right along with this. Paul had to go to court. And you can read about it in the 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 14. Now, Alexander the coppersmith, who had quite a name in that town, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for as great he withstood our words. What was he doing? He was out proclaiming that Paul was a deceiver. Amen. And he was out using his influence, his reputation, coming against Paul. Amen. Wherever Paul would speak or preach, amen, he's right there to withstand his words. Amen. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Otherwise, God stayed right with him. When Paul's all alone, yet he wasn't alone. God was with him. You young people, those of you that are in a class at school, amen, there might not be one other student in there serving God, but you're not alone. If you're serving God, you've got God with you. And having God with you, amen, you couldn't have anything greater, amen, in that classroom than having God with you. Notwithstanding, said the Lord, stood with me, strengthened me, that by me the preacher might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me, listen to what he says, from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What's another reason why we should put our confidence in God? We know he'll never leave you, won't lie. He's able to perform. He's unfailing. But there's another reason why we should put our confidence in God. Real simple. He's smarter than we are. God is smarter than we are. And his scriptures back it up. Look what he said in Isaiah. Look what the prophet said in Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, amen, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. God is smarter than we are. Don't you always like to go to somebody that's smart to get advice along a certain line? Amen. When it comes to making out your taxes, don't you like to go to a tax consultant? Don't you like to go to an attorney? Go to somebody that's more equipped along a certain line? Well, God is smarter in every aspect of our life. He's smarter than we are. Amen. Lastly, you can trust in Him because He cares for you. Amen. If you was the only person on this earth, God still cares for you. We read on 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. And I'm going to close. I told you I'd let you out with the weather like this tonight. I let you out a little early. But I'm going to use the scriptures from our text in closing. And to me, these are very, very uplifting scriptures in the Word of God. Amen. Where lean not to your understanding. To some people, that's their favorite scriptures. But let's read a couple of verses here in closing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, bring him into it. It says, acknowledge him. Make him aware of all your different ways. Any avenue that you're going to choose, any profession in life, anything you're going to choose in life, amen. Acknowledge God about it. Talk to God about it. God is so much wiser than we are. God can see things way out in the future that only we can see at the present time. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And here's a promise. He shall direct thy paths. What a promise. Put in your confidence. Trust in the Lord tonight. If you're here struggling, maybe you haven't been putting your trust in the Lord as you ought. Maybe you've been going ahead and doing some things on your own, and you found out you got yourself in a little trouble. Well, don't continue on. Stop. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. What'll happen? God will direct thy paths. Let us stand tonight.